do you go?
When all that you see
are actors on your television singing off key.
What savvy, well-versed heroes can settle the
score?
Once more with TV. Welcome, ponies and bronies, to Once More with TV, a podcast celebrating TV musical episodes from the sublime to the subprime.
And definitively ranking them using every theater child's worst nightmare, math.
I'm your co-host, Alex Kovnatsky, he, him, and I am an anything goes apologist.
And I'm your co-host, Liza Trushel, she, her, and I think that after Lane broke up with Adam Brody's character in Gilmore Girls, that she should have just been done. I her husband sucks. I'm sorry. It really, they did Lane so dirty. It sucks.
I agree because I don't know anything about that. What I do know is we watched My Little Pony and honestly, I might be a brony now. I think.
Potentially? Interesting. Well,
Liza,
were
what are
you
thoughts?
Sexually attracted to the ponies? Is sort of my first question.
I don't think that is a prerequisite for bronies, right?
I thought it was. Is it not? I don't know.
I think bronies are just guys who watch My Little Pony,
okay,
right?
Okay, then that's fine. Yeah, we obviously don't know much about the very sexual fandom of the show. I just felt that we had to address the elephant in the room, the pony in the room, if you will, about that. And we will never address it again. I don't care.
It's a great point, though, Liza. What is, what's your relationship with My Little Pony? What do you know about this universe?
I knew only a couple things going in. A friend's little sister had, like, My Little Pony dolls, so I've seen the dolls, and I believe they started as dolls before it was, they made this sort of fictional universe of Equestria.
I think that's right.
And I remember, like, an old commercial for, like, the My Little Pony, like, there was a cotton candy cafe, and I remember the commercial, because it went, My Little Pony, My Little Pony, race you to the cotton candy cafe. And, like, me and my brother used to sing that at each other for, like, no fucking reason all the time.
Wow.
Because we both have ADHD. And, like, sometimes things get stuck and you can't choose what they are. And that really got stuck for me. So, yeah, most of my knowledge of this was it was little dolls and then it was a cute little horse show. And then a bunch of people made it about sex. That's sort of my general knowledge of the show. What about you?
Honestly, more than me. I just know the commercials. I don't remember that specific commercial, but I remember that theme song, basically. And that's really all I know about My Little Pony. Other than the brony, you know, thing that happened, which, you know, is probably a good way for masculinity to project itself is like, hey, we're guys who like cartoons is better than, you know, we're guys who are really into guns. But beyond that, I really know nothing.
Well, there's that Bob's Burgers episode that, like, makes fun of My Little Pony and specifically, like, brony fandom. I don't know if you've seen that one, but, like, the Equestronauts.
I don't think I have.
There's an Equestronauts episode where it turns out that I think, like, Tina is a big fan of, like, these horse dolls. And then, like, Bob goes and it's all, like, adult men. Anyway.
Oh, man.
It's very upsetting.
That does sound great, though.
But, yeah, no, I enjoyed this episode. Okay, so to be clear, we watched season 4, episode 12, right?
Pinky Pride,
yes. Which was available for me on Netflix, which for some reason I haven't been kicked off on my computer. I've been kicked off on all of my other devices, but my computer hasn't caught up, so don't tell it.
Yeah, I've been fully kicked off, but I found it on YouTube, weirdly enough. That was a reliable stream source. It aired in 2014, so it's pretty old. Liza, do you know how many seasons of My Little Pony there is?
No, I'm afraid now, though. How many?
There's fully 9 seasons.
What?
221 episodes.
That is so many. Are they all like 24 minutes long?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so much
content. And there's
several
movies, too. And this is also, to be clear, this is My Little Pony, colon, Friendship is Magic. I think there are other
multiple
things
shows.
Beyond
that. No, there are multiple shows. MLP, FIM. Moltfin.
Amazing.
Central to the canon. But
well, I mean, I, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I really did like this episode a lot. I really was surprised. Original music. There is, you know, a celebrity guest in it.
Was not expecting that. Did no research. Like to go into these things.
How long
blind.
Did it take you until you saw it?
Until he started singing. And
yeah.
When he started singing and he pulled out an accordion and he's wearing wearing like a little short sleeve button up, which was not a wacky design, which it should have been. But that's like my one note is really that he should have been wearing a wacky shirt because it is Weird Al Yankovic, which is crazy. That's such a get. Oh my God.
It's a crazy get. Liz, do you want to know how this happened? Do you know how this happened?
I have no idea. I have no idea how this happened.
So I did some research. Apparently, Weird Al tweeted a mashup of My Little Pony and Polkarama that like just some fan of his work made. And the execs at My Little Pony were like, hey, do you want to do an episode? And he was like, yeah, actually, I would. And that's that's how that happened. The beauty
sometimes
of Twitter.
The internet is good. It's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare.
But yeah, we start with the cold open, right? With with Cheese Sandwich as his character, which is brilliant. And they do this like kind of Western motif. But the first song is Pinky the Party Planner. And actually, I want to clue you in on a little game. Apparently, every single song in this episode is based off of another song from mostly musical theater. I'm curious if you can guess any of them. Pinky the Party Planner was clear for me.
Was it Bell?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's what I got. I wrote down very Bell. I wrote down the exact same thing. I wrote, There Goes the Maker with his tray like always. And then they're going to do a little bit of a song about how her and how odd she is. That was fun. It mentioned some of the other parties she's planned. I like that she planned a full shower for like the base. I thought that was a cute joke. And then she planned a cute Cinera for one.
Amazing. Amazing.
Which I thought was sweet.
Yeah, this is the main character for this episode, Pinkie Pie. And I guess each pony has like a function in this universe and her function is planning parties. Is that what we're led to believe?
Yes, that seems. I have a lot of questions about the rules of this universe, if I'm honest. Because, yeah, everybody seems to have a purpose. It seems to be stamped on their ass in some important way. Like, once you find your calling, does it just like appear there? I don't know. Like, because hers is like balloons and then like rainbow dashes. I don't really even know what that means, but it looks like a rainbow dash is on her ass, which, and like I don't know, I don't understand the rules of this universe at all. Like, even during this song we're walking through town and like the rules on when we're allowed to use our hooves as hands seem crazy to me. Like, sometimes we can pick things up, other horses are making things levitate via their unicorn horns, some horses can fly, some horses are, as I said, unicorns. There's like a dragon that's like wandering around.
Yeah, there's just a dragon.
There's also like there's a donkey at one point, like that doesn't even have a line, it's just there. And so I'm like, what is this? And also then, like, and this is jumping way ahead, but at one point Weird Al's character pulls out some cows and they seem to be like our world's cows. So do cows not have the same sort of, what is the word I'm looking for? Are they not like cognizant or aware in the same way that ponies are?
No, I think ponies are the only, well, I guess that's true because the dragon and the donkey seem sentient, but I think ponies are the only ones that have these magic powers, probably.
Okay. Are they the only ones with the powers of language? Because, like, the cows didn't speak. Their eyes were smaller, which to me in this universe indicated smaller window to the soul, smaller soul, if you will. I was so disturbed by the presence of the cows. I was fine with everything until the cows showed up, and I was really upset. It threw me for a loop.
With the rubber chicken cutaway real world dancing and
I mean, I was really, really pleased. It was a tiny alligator. I was extremely pleased with the tiny alligator. Whose name I think is Gubby.
Okay, just clarifying.
Anyway, I was fine with that. It was just the cows that threw me off.
Good to know. But I think musically this was pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the criticisms I have, and this is probably for the whole episode, is there's not a lot of ponyography.
No,
I think they
none.
Really could have done more with that, but musically, it sounds a lot like Belle, which is a great opener, and it made this a pretty solid opener, too.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, like, shortly after that song, too, I noticed that, like, whenever certain characters are talking, they have their own musical motif, kind of, mm-hmm. or at least, like, musical backing. For example, Pinkie Pie always had this kind of, like, bombastic, like, horns kind of going. And Cheese Sandwich, while in Western form, had the kind of Western stings to it. And Rainbow Dash had her own kind of like string section. It was interesting. I thought it was a nice choice.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. It reminded me a little bit of listening to like Peter and the Wolf as a kid.
Totally.
Yeah. No, and so we find that Pinkie Pie is supposed to plan a birthiversary for Rainbow mm-hmm. Dash, it's her birthday and it's the anniversary of when she moved to Ponyville. Our sweet little town. Also, Rainbow Dash, like, something about her styling, I really, like, I appreciated that she had strings, but I think it actually would have been better if she was, like, pop punk. Like, I kind of wished,
yeah,
like, because of the hair, which was giving me, like, Hayley Williams skunk hair, like, she was giving me Scene Kid. I really wanted her motif to be pop punk.
Maybe it's different in every episode, because I think, like, the function of Rainbow Dash in this episode is to be kind of somebody who's caught in the middle, and so it's a mm-hmm. little bit weaker sounding. Mm-hmm. Maybe in other episodes she has more of a punk rock aesthetic, but we're not pony experts, clearly.
Clearly. I'm looking forward to our spot being truly blown up by someone who, like, does know about these things.
Totally, totally. The super duper The super duper party pony was the mm-hmm. next song, and I think me messing up on the words might be a hint of what this song is.
This is a song where the meter is being pushed quite a lot. It's very hard to enunciate. You truly do need someone with the enunciating skill of Weird Al Yankovic in order mm-hmm. to sing it. It's really mm-hmm. very tricky.
Well, the question I was trying to ask is, do you know what this song is based off of?
No, but I can take a guess on context. We got trouble right here in River City.
That's a great, great shout. But it's Supercalifragilistic, me jumbling the words is very reminiscent
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. I was going for a Music Man motif.
Totally, totally. But I think that's kind of in the same ballpark. I think they're both kind of similar songs in that way. Mm-hmm. But the visuals on this I thought were pretty fun. I thought they were having like a really good time, kind of, I just can't wait to be king, kind of just going at it and doing yeah. whatever they wanted with it.
Full on. And this is, of course, when we both realized that this was Weird Al Yankovic. Because up to this point, yep. he'd only been speaking, and Weird Al has a very normal speaking voice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is his singing voice that is true. And also, he's playing a little horse accordion. And I'm like,
yes.
Oh.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Got it.
It became clear to me, too, that the cheese sandwich on the grilled cheese on his butt that is like a cheese pull is mm-hmm. also an accordion. Like, it's accordion shaped. Yeah.
I'm realizing this in real time. Wow. That is fascinating. Can I say...
It all connects.
Can I say multiple things about this cheese sandwich? So we haven't really addressed the idea that he's named Cheese Sandwich. Like, we kind of blew past it, which I think is a shame. And I'd like to dive into it more here.
Please.
First of all, in England, he would be called a cheese toasty, and that makes me happy. Mm. Second of all, I had a dog named Grilled Cheese Sandwich growing up, and I just think that's important to throw in here. We didn't call her that. Her name was Jaffel, but uh-huh. that is the Australian slang term for a grilled cheese sandwich.
Amazing.
So as soon as someone named Cheese Sandwich showed up, I'm like, I got warm fuzzies that had nothing to do with the show. I was like, I have to root for this guy. I have to.
How similar or dissimilar was that dog to Weird Al?
Well, she was a border collie and she was very much in charge of things. And she would let us know that. Like, my mom was the alpha and Jaffel was the next in line. So, like, if my mom drove us somewhere and, like, left us in the car, when she got out of the car, Jaffel got in the driver's seat because that is where mm-hmm. the alpha sits. She would mm-hmm. only move when my mom came back.
Wow.
she took her job very seriously. And to me, Cheese Sandwich take his job very seriously. It's a wacky mm-hmm. job. So yeah. It's a, you know, serious is sort of a relative term, but yeah.
No, it's great casting for both your dog and for this role to be connected to Weird Al. I think it's so funny. And it was such a surprise for me. I know it was for you as well, too.
My notes become all caps, and they say, holy fuck, is that Weird Al Yankovic? And, like, three of those words are misspelled. I was typing very fast.
At first, I was like, oh, no, that isn't. I'm just associating this. And then I was like, oh, no, they're blatantly doing the accordion and the hair and everything. This has to be him. Because
I had noticed his hair was curly, and, like, all of these horses have different hair textures. And I noticed his mm-hmm. hair was curly, and I was like, oh, what are we going for here?
But after he has that big number and everybody's excited to have him host the party instead or plan the party instead, we have Pinky's Lament after that, which is, I thought, a pretty solid composition again. Like, it was slower, it was, you know, certainly more melancholy, but it was kind of nice. It was kind of pleasant. I'm just constantly surprised by how much work they put into making these compositions good. Not necessarily super memorable, but just solid.
No, I wouldn't say that I could remember any of the hooks from this, but they were perfectly mm-hmm. listenable songs. They were understandable. They projected what characters were feeling and wanting. I was like, okay, I'm in it. I'm in.
And they were quick, too. Which yes. is nice. Appreciate
blissfully.
That.
Which one was this? So what song was this based off of?
This one's Evita. This one's Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Oh, my yeah. God. She's on yeah. a balcony, Liza. Get your shit together. Sorry, I'm so mad that I didn't immediately know that.
It's okay. To be fair, from here on out, they start losing their connections really quick. Or at least they get more and more obscure. But the Pinky's Lament comes back a little bit, I think, in whatever Cheese Sandwich's song is later. Cheese Confesses. So it's fun that they kind of play with that a little bit, too, of bringing back themes.
We love a
and I
reprise.
Think they do that.
We love a yeah. reprise. We're huge fans.
They do that with Pinky the Party Planner as well, too. They kind of sing that theme again towards the end. So nice versatility. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, her identity crisis during the song lasts all of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, for what was billed to me when I watched this on Netflix as the crux of the episode, which is that she has to decide who she is if there is an even better party planning pony. Mm-hmm. It lasted truly 2 minutes. It lasted the first half of this song. By the yeah. end of the half of the song, she's decided, no, wait, I am a party planner. I'm the best one there's ever been.
That's
it really
literally
doesn't take
my
her
job.
Long.
Yeah. But yeah, they decide to do a goof off to decide this. I'm curious how you felt about that as just a concept.
Okay, there are two things about this that I really want to address. First of all, in the scene where she challenges him to a goof off, there's a pony that drinks straight out of a chocolate fondue fountain, which is so fucking upsetting. again, I really focus on background stuff.
No,
you
please.
Need to build your whole world for me. The other one is, I think there is a 310 to Yuma joke.
To Yuma joke? Yeah, no, I have that written too. I think that's exactly what that is.
It's like Pinky challenges him to a goof off, and they're going mm-hmm. to do it at high noon, and then someone's like, Pinky, it's 3 p.m., which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then she says, it's 310 to goof off or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what?
Well, they do have this, like, Western theme going on, right? Like, at the very beginning, he's, like, a Western
that's true. Yeah.
kind of, like, coming into town, changing things
yeah.
up. And they do, like, the narrowing on the eyes. Aspect ratio shift. So I think that's what they're doing. I think they probably, in the outline, had more of these jokes in there and then didn't put them in.
It's just, I love a joke that's going to go right past a four-year-old. I'm a big fan of those. That
Me
was,
too.
Like, what always made, like, the Muppet Show and, like, Sesame mm-hmm. Street so interesting was there are jokes that, like, your kids aren't going to get. They're for you.
Absolutely. I've started watching Bluey lately, which is fantastic, by the way. I can't recommend it higher enough. But the dad calls himself Telemachus in a bit once. And I'm like, Odysseus's son? Like, that's not
wow.
even a joke in this moment, but it's
a
just
deep
for dads.
Cut. Yeah. That's a you were forced to read the Odyssey in high school.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
That's so funny. Oh, it was at this point also in my notes that I started writing down. I tried to track all of the hats that she Sandwich was wearing throughout the episode.
Oh, that's
I counted
good.
Seven, but I didn't start until a little bit too late. We've got a cowboy hat. He had a hard hat during the scene where he was like building things. Mm-hmm, and then he has a fez, which he challenges him to the goof off, which is when I started realizing what was happening. He shows up to the goof off in a winter hat with like ear flaps and there's a fish on it. I don't know if the fish counts as a hat or if it's part of the hat. It just seemed important to know.
I think it's part of it.
And then he has a hat that he wears during this as for like the can when he's being shot out of a cannon. He has an Evel Knievel helmet. Then there's a jester hat and then there's a top hat. That's seven hats that I was able to count, which for 22 minutes is an impressive number of hats.
No, that's very impressive. Nice counter there. I think that's why we have you on this show, Liza. The goof off, I will say, extravagant number of hats. Love that. The goof off itself, I think, could have been goofier.
I was going to say the same thing. Not that goofy.
Not that goofy.
I didn't feel the goof of it.
Yeah.
And maybe I do think goofy is sort of like a difficult thing to do when you live in such a goofy... Everything else up to this has been so goofy. Like, how do you do wacky in a universe that's already kind of wacky, where it's like very normal that people fly and they're like kind of silly all the time? But yeah, I was not blown away by the goofitude on this. My goof meter, I didn't giggle once, and that was disappointing.
Yeah, and I wonder if this is something that is goofier for kids. Like, maybe it's sillier, more exciting. But I found Cheese Sandwich's other number to be goofier. The super duper party pony was goofier than the goof off. So I don't know. Yeah. A little disappointing there.
Yeah.
We should mention that they had Rainbow Dash to judge this, which I think is actually kind of a really interesting plot point. Like, it becomes clear that the point of the story is that Pinkie Pie is making this party planning about herself instead of about her friend, which is kind of a great lesson, I think, also, too.
Yeah, that's kind of included in Pinkie's lament, too, right? It's like part of what she realizes even during that is like what made her parties magical before was that like they're all smiling their own like unique special smiles. It's just for them. And so, yeah, this really drives that home, I think. She finally realizes like, oh, that means I can't make this about me. Like, I have made Rainbow Dash's party about me and my thing when it should be about her. It takes her dropping like a 7-layer pinata cake on her friend in order to realize this, which I think, you know.
Yeah, we've all been there.
We've all been there. We've all been there, that diva. Guys.
And we're like,
Come on.
No, I dropped a cake on you again.
Again, that's on me this time.
I also feel like before Pinkie forfeits, I think she should have been more like clearly in the lead. Like, I don't know. I feel like that just kind of happened when they were both duking it out. I think that could have been more dramatic.
That is interesting. Yeah. I like that idea.
I do really love the line. I didn't write it down verbatim, but it was something along the lines of like, I should have been a big enough pony and let you have your day or something like that. And I was like, that is honestly so sweet, but also so silly.
It's very silly. And of course, like, her forfeiting leads her to run away from Ponyville, maybe? She, like, packs up all her party planning supplies, and she's, like, dragging this chest covered in, like, random garbage. It truly does look like when you're five and you decide you're running away.
yes, that's so right.
That's so funny. You know, there's just, like, balloons and like a leaf blower, like anything you can find. And you're like, I'm running away. I'm never.
These are all
back.
The things I need.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then we have Cheese Confesses, where Cheese Sandwich has a nice little story that I think I actually should have double checked this, but I think is the same motif as Pinkie's Lament. But it's you know, Cheese basically saying that he became a party planner because of Pinkie, which I think was fun and sweet.
She's his origin story.
Yeah,
he gets
exactly.
We thought he was a villain origin story. Turns out he was a hero. But he was not always a party planner. He was a sad little glasses wearing dweebus.
Wouldn't know anything about it.
Yeah, we're both wearing glasses. but like, he's a sad little dweeb. And then he eats a cheese sandwich at her party and it becomes emblazoned on his butt again. I don't understand the rules.
That is a good point. It's they aren't born with it. It becomes thrust upon them.
So like nobody knew his name in his old town, and like because he didn't have one because there was nothing on his butt.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think you have to like find your purpose and find your name.
What do you think would be on your butt?
Oh my God, it could be a cheese sandwich. It's not out of question for it to be a cheese sandwich.
Yeah, no, I think that's very good.
Yeah, what about you?
Probably some nerdy math shit, like an integral or derivative something or something.
Yeah,
something gross. Horrible. Pythagorean's theorem on my butt.
Barf.
But yeah, that song was cute. I think that was maybe my least favorite song just because it was a little bit boring. And like, I don't like it when Weird Al is singing sad songs. I feel like every song he sings should have a polka beat to it. But it was fine.
Yeah.
We have the last song that lasts like maybe a minute. It was so short. And that's Make-A-Wish.
It's a pop number. Mm-hmm. It's like a birthday pop song. It's important to note that this episode came out before Happy Birthday had hit in public domain. So,
great point.
We can't sing Happy Birthday at this party. But also, this felt like really more cash grabby. This is like a pop song about birthdays that I am positive was at every like 4 to 8 year old girl's birthday party for the next like 10 years. Probably. And because it's only 1 minute long, they play it over and over and over and over and over.
So wait,
I was getting preemptively annoyed.
Happy Birthday is in the public domain now, so like shows can just have it. That's so interesting. It was like two years ago or something.
Wow. Yeah. It was really recently. But, you know, that used to be why we made up. And of course, like, you know, why Red Robin and all of these places have their own birthday songs.
That's so silly. Yeah. Do you want to know what this song is based off of? It is not from a musical at all. It's so random.
No. What is it?
It's from Pink's Raise a Glass.
What?
This is the most random.
Did they just
thing.
Like free associate on the word pink?
Maybe. Oh, whoa! I didn't realize that connection with Pinky and Pink. That actually makes a little bit more sense to me now.
Yeah, that must have been it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it might not have been.
Surely. I like that song actually, though. I wish it was longer. I could see.
Yeah, I was kind of sad when it was over.
Yeah,
it kind of like fades out too. It didn't really feel like I got a conclusion. They kind of like pan away. It's also the only like really pony choreo that I think we get.
Yes, and it's very minimal. It's like very like backup dancer kind of choreo thing. But I wanted more. They're horses or they're ponies. They should be doing more.
Well, it's also, you know, for me, with when you're doing animation, like there are no limits. You don't have to do things that are physically possible, and you don't have to do anything where you don't ever have to teach anyone any dance moves. You can just do whatever you want. So I feel like you have such free reign. Sorry, horse puns.
Nice.
You have such free reign to do whatever you want, so just do it.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like a missed opportunity, but
yeah.
Honestly, that's really the only major complaint I have. I love that Cheese Sandwich gets back on his cowboy bullshit after that and saunters
off.
He rides
off into the sunset.
Exactly, yeah. Another town. I think that is where we get our other cowboy reference, where Pinky's like, "I never did get that pony's name," which is from some Western movie I've never seen. And then they're all like, "Cheese Sandwich." She said it a million times. It was a good bit.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Do you have any other last thoughts about this episode overall?
No, I think I'm ready to score it.
Let's score this, baby. So, first things first, Liza, general vibe of this episode. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking it's pretty high. I mean, you know, for all that a couple of the songs were not all that I wanted them to be, it was pretty fun. There were a couple good jokes. It was, there wasn't anything like deeply problematic that I could see.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good time. For me, this is pretty high.
I don't know if this is part of the general vibe category or if it is more a personal ranking thing, but they do have very high-pitched voices and scream a lot. And that decrease the vibe for me a little, but otherwise,
no,
I completely
agree. No, I think it does
fall
into vibe. It does fall into vibe. We are doing children's television, which can require a very nasally, shrieky kind of baby voice.
Totally.
Yeah, I think that counts here.
Okay, I think for me, like a 7 or 8. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think a 7 or 8 is good. Let's go with a 7.
Let's go with a 7.
7 sounds right.
That shrieking, I think, did in fact give me a headache.
Yeah.
We can forgive it for that.
It freaked my cat out. I had to put it in. Did you really? Yeah, my cat fucking hated this, so we can give it a 7.
Okay. Music. What do you think in music-wise?
Pretty high. I mean, first of all, they did their own, which we're always huge fans of here. Mm-hmm. It's a big swing, and we love rewarding big swings. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they're pretty competent. I mean, like, some of them are more direct riffs. I mean, the Bell one was very obvious, but mm-hmm. the orchestration itself, the arrangement seemed pretty good. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the only points against it is that it's not that memorable, and... Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, I was going to say there's only 5 songs, but like 5 songs to fit into a 22-minute episode.
24-minute, yeah.
That's pretty good. I might rate it as high as like a 9 for me, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think points off for no hook. As soon as the songs were over, they were forgotten.
100%.
Me. So yeah, I think an 8 or a 9.
Let's go with an 8. I think an 8 is fair.
Great.
Okay, lyrics. What do you think in there, Liza?
I was a little less impressed with lyrics.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think the music was competent. Sometimes the lyrics, the rhyme schemes were simple. Fine, this is a kid show. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to be Stephen Sondheim, right? Like, mm-hmm. but they were really, I mean, also kids show territory, right? There's no subtext. We only got text, baby.
Yeah.
There's only text.
And like, I think there's an opportunity to be funnier with the lyrics, or if mm-hmm. you are making an homage to other songs, making the lyrics reflect that a little bit too. I think they really do that with Pinky the Party Planner, but like more so with the dialogue in between the stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think not as strong, but not bad by any measure.
No.
Maybe like a 6 for me.
Yeah, I think a 6 sounds right.
All right. And then dancing. I think we know this one's pretty low, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, just missed opportunities. Again, we're in animation. You can do whatever the hell you want. Also, I mean, like, how do fucking My Little Pony bodies move? Also, some of them can fly. Like, you really... Yeah, Sky literally wasn't the limit here, dude. You had Sky in the limit still. Yeah. I don't think they could breathe in space, but I could be wrong.
I really don't know what the rules are for this universe.
Again, I was baffled by so many of these rules. But also, they could make things levitate. Like, you could do whatever the fuck you wanted, and it felt like we really didn't do much. So for me, this is taking some serious... it's taking a real blow here.
Yeah. Me. Yeah, how low are you thinking? Like a 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right. Okay, performance. Vocal performance, acting performance, all that kind of good stuff. What do you think?
Well, like we said, I mean, this is kids' TV, so... But I feel like we already knocked it for vibe. Because, like, that's just going to be the vibe of kids' TV. Mm-hmm. It's a little shriekier. It's a little more annoying. But for that being said, it felt like the singing was really competent. It was, like, Pinkie Pie had a really nice singing voice that matched her speaking voice. Mm-hmm. So you could believe it was coming out of her. And then we've got fucking Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that. I mean, like...
And, you know, these are all professional voice actors. This is what they do. For me, performance is pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I think this just goes to show. I mean, at least for me personally, I feel like voice actors tend to be good singers. I think in most animated musicals, there's hardly ever anyone singing off key. But with live action musical performances, there often is. And yeah, we just got to show respect on that.
Totally.
I think the only thing that I might ding them on is that it's not quite difficult to sing any of the songs in this. So it's not super complex. I might give it like an 8, I think.
Yeah, an 8 sounds good.
All right. And then we're on to writing. I think the writing's actually pretty decent. What do you think there?
It's decent. There are multiple... Again, I love... When I'm watching kids TV, I'm really looking for enough jokes to keep a kid happy and enough jokes to keep an adult happy. I think that's a really hard thing to do. We're both adults. We enjoyed most of the jokes, it seems. I am going to ding it for a couple things on writing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to me, Pinky's Lament, that's too short of an identity crisis. That needs to be a little bit longer. That needs to be a little bit deeper. This is a kid's show, though. You can't really do The Dark Night of the Soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that there's something, there's a lesson to be learned there about, like, you know, questioning yourself for a little bit. And then, Yeah, I think your note about her forfeit would have been much more important if she had been winning the goof off.
Yeah. 100%.
And so I think there are, like, we're hitting a lot of emotional highs and we're really skipping over the lows, which is, again, this is kids TV.
Yeah, that's classic kids
but
TV.
I think like good kids TV does go there.
Yeah.
100%. Like Avatar goes there,
yeah.
Right? Like you can. I think you have to trust your audience, trust the children who like the ponies. So yeah, to me, that's where this takes dings.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
And maybe the lack of commitment to the Western theme. I think if we'd gotten a couple more goofs in there, it would have read better. It would have been funnier.
Yeah, they really only bookend that. I will say, though, on the other end, I do think this is actually like a pretty decent lesson to teach kids and adults probably too. To not make parties about themselves. And I think I was pretty struck by that's like an interesting moral that I wouldn't think of having in a kids' TV show, but is a good one.
No, it is a really good one.
But when you have 200 episodes as well, too, they probably just delve into whatever lesson they can find.
Yeah, I mean, episode 199 is about the Israeli-Palestine conflict. That's a
Why
crazy
did we do
episode.
That one? That one's surely a musical.
It's not a musical.
Too, right?
It's not a musical.
No.
I know. Huge miss. Huge miss.
yeah, what number are you thinking of giving this, Liza?
I don't know. Like you said, it's for all my notes, this is a fucking kids show. And we've only got 22 minutes, so our lows can't be that low. So I'm not really gonna ding it that much. Those are just my overall notes. So I'm still thinking in like the 7 range.
Yeah, I was thinking 7. That sounds solid to me.
The 7 range. I give you one number. That range.
The range of 7 from 7.0 to 7.9.
Just really waiting for your input there.
Well, we're in full agreement. Direction. I thought direction was kind of interesting because I think that does kind of connect to the dancing as well. Like missed opportunities to do a lot of fun stuff like that. But I also do think the super duper pony party was pretty visually pleasing.
I mean, it was pretty super duper.
It
was
a crazy
super duper party
for sure. But the goof off was not that goofy. So
the goof off was not goofy.
You know,
not goofy, which is honestly on the director. You know, gotta make that goofier.
But they do fun things with the camera. You know, they have like that aspect ratio shift to make it like Western in the opening bit. They had like a lot of. They had like that weird rubber chicken dancing thing, right? Like that is so strange.
Yeah, and they cut to a real alligator. Like I didn't anticipate that. That was very odd. And I thought there were, again, like I love a good background goof. I'm often too distracted by them. But like a pony like drinking chocolate out of a fountain. Disturbing but funny. Like I do love little bits like that. Little nods to people who are like me and cannot focus.
Yeah, 100%.
So I love a background goof. There was a donkey wearing earrings. I thought that was really funny. So
we love that. Yeah, I think directions. I think it's probably also a 7 for me. I think it's probably there.
Yeah.
Just for the inconsistencies, I really wish it was more of the super duper party pony throughout the whole thing.
Totally. You show me that you know how to do it. So just do it the whole time.
Exactly. Commitment. I think this episode commits quite a bit to it's trying to do.
We start singing. We start off right with Belle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no time lost between the theme song and when the actual song starts. Mm-hmm. And we don't acknowledge it in any kind of way. We're just singing for this episode. I honestly, at one point, was like, are all episodes of this show musical? Because nobody's commented on it.
I think they do have musical numbers a lot.
They certainly must. I mean, there's no way they don't.
Yeah, but it's worth mentioning. The person who does the music for this show is Daniel Ingram. And from all accounts from my research, he seems like a huge theater nerd. Like just constantly referencing musical theater stuff in songs they do in other shows.
Fun. We love that.
We love that. So I think it commits quite hard. And it's all original music, too.
The only thing I felt I was missing was a closing number.
Yeah.
I wanted, like, a big chord. I wanted, like, a big major victory chord toward the end there. And I thought that that's what we were going to get with that Pink-inspired song. Mm-hmm. I thought, like, oh, okay, so our finale is just kind of in a bit of a different genre. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the only thing that I'm going to ding it for here, I think, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that there's no closing number.
Maybe, like, an 8 for commitment, then?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Nice. I also realized we didn't even talk about the theme song for this show. I think it's a solid theme song.
It was fun.
Yeah. It gets in and out really quick. It has the My Little Pony refrain.
We introduce everyone. They all kind of like have their little moment. I thought it was sweet.
Yeah. Anyway. The stakes, I don't know what the stakes of this stakes? My Little Pony universe is, but exactly. I don't think this was a game-changing episode.
Yeah. But I don't know that any episodes are. I mean, I think it's really, it feels like one of those worlds you're probably supposed to be able to drop in and drop out of pretty much all the time.
Totally.
But again, this is the only episode I've ever watched, so that could be completely wrong.
Yeah. And the fact that, I mean, like, I think the thing that they have going for it in the stakes department is that they, like, invested a lot into this, but I guess that's more commitment to like have Weird Al in your musical episode is you know, kind of investing more into it, but I think that is actually more commitment than it is stakes.
It is. No, the stakes of the episode, like diegetically, are essentially zero.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, I guess Pinky almost runs away, but I don't know. Again, like, the lows don't feel low. Like, I'm not feeling them at all. That was still a very lighthearted scene. Like, to me, there were no stakes here.
Yeah. Does Rainbow Dash almost die?
Nobody goes, okay, we didn't address this. When there is a seven layer, I cannot even emphasize how fucking large this pinata is.
So big. It takes up 75% of the screen.
It's like the size of a building, this fucking pinata. Falls on Rainbow Dash. Nobody goes to help her.
No one.
No one. She is just left to struggle underneath it while Pinky has a revelation about it being all about her, which is ironic because she's letting her friend die under a cake.
Yes. Yeah, stakes are massively low.
I mean, like, it doesn't seem like you can befall any real harm. I don't know that there are evil ponies. I mean, are there even any bad people here? Like, I don't know if other episodes have stakes.
Yeah, it's hard in that regard. I still think probably we give it close to a zero, if not zero, even the same as usual.
Because, like, to me, the big question about stakes is, if I didn't watch this episode, if I skipped it, would I have missed something important? The answer is no.
No. You would have missed Weird Al, but you wouldn't miss anything. I would have missed Weird Al,
which is important, but that's more of a commitment thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe like a one.
Yeah, let's give it a one. Let's be nice.
Yeah, let's give it a one.
Being nice is giving
the
it a one.
The one is the caveat if, like, if all episodes are like this, then we can't give it zero, right? Mm-hmm.
And now, last but not least, our personal ranking, which we're going to average. I think I have my number, and I don't want to influence you.
Okay, I think I have my number.
Okay, do you want to count us down?
3, 2, 1, 8. 6.
Oh, nice. 7.
Okay, 7. Nice round number.
Yeah, it's an 8 for me because I thought it was just, it did its job well. Like, that is what I want a musical to be.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't have to spend that much time watching it, so it was, like, kind of pleasurable throughout the whole thing.
That's always nice. Yeah. I love that.
All right, to wrap up the scores there, that puts Pinky Pride in 5th place with 61 points, just behind Andy's Play at 62 points, and ahead of My Fair Laddie, which is now pushed into 6th place with 54 points.
Wow, if you wanted to do that in like an old-timey 40s newscaster, those could all be horses that ran the Kentucky Derby at some point. I would believe you. Horse names are straight up wild.
They're so wild.
Anyway, next week, we'll see you once more with Season 7, Episode 18 of Grey's Anatomy, entitled The Song Beneath the Song.
You can find this episode on Netflix and on Hulu.
Thank you, as always, to Olivia Berslowski, our angelic audio architect, and to Sakana Powell, our debonair digital designer.
If you like the show, please be sure to rate and review us. If you don't, keep it to yourself. You can find us on Instagram at OnceMoreWithTV or contact us using the information in the show notes.
And scene.